I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Tampa Bay Lightning jump to a 3-0 lead in the first period over Dallas, then they hang on to win 3-2 and even their Stanley Cup Finals series at one game apiece. Braden Point, Andre Palat, Kevin Shattenkirk with goals. Andre Vasilevsky makes 27 saves as this thing is all tied up now. The Rays beat the Mets and ace Jacob DeGrom 2-1. Their magic number now is 1. They can clinch their third AL East title in franchise history tonight with a win or a Yankees loss. And how many drops were there in Sunday's game from Tom Brady's passes? Well, Bruce Arians says there were 7 for about 125 yards and 3 TDs. TB12 would have had a really big day. We've got all that and more on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. And Steve, you were at Amalie Arena watching and produced. I'm sorry?
I still am at Amalie Arena.
Well, you still are there. That's right. This is, you know, you're there late, actually early because you were up late. You're still at Amalie Arena where, of course, the production happens there and the magic for the broadcast. And did they invite fans there? Is that what was
they
going
did.
On?
They did. They had a small watch party for season ticket members inside. I'm not sure the numbers, but I want to say a few hundred were here for that. And then there was the last couple games has been fans gathering outside to watch at Thunder Alley, where they put the game on the side of the parking garage there. So, but yeah. limited number of people can be in there too, as they keep everyone social distanced and that. So yeah,
right. Still kind of cool though. I mean, a little atmosphere and people able to gather somewhat to celebrate the Lightning. Look. We talked about this before the game. This was as close to a must-win as you're going to have when you're down 1-0. Of course, you can't lose again, or you're talking about having to win 4 out of 5. A lot of reasons why maybe, you know, the Lightning were a step slow in that opener. Fatigue might have been one for sure, but now that they're into the series, they came out on fire. You know, before Dallas knew it, of course, Dallas was taking some penalties, stupid ones at that, and putting themselves in bad situations with power play. But a 3-0 lead in the first period, which could have been more, and they made it stand. I mean, you know, didn't play so great in some of the other periods or as good, but certainly they got the job done, and Andre Vasilevsky was terrific again in goal. This is a series, and I thought that this time that the Lightning were quicker, that the Lightning were more the Lightning, and except for getting baited into some scrums and some penalty minutes, they played a really good game.
I thought they played a fantastic game. I think in the second, they let some emotions get a hold of them, and they started taking some bad penalties. You know, Nikita Kucherov was out there for almost a whole two-minute power play and then takes a bad tripping call. Then they get to some scrums. Pat Maroon, goaltender interference. I thought it was a questionable call. There were some missed calls tonight on both ends. But you were right. I mean, right from the jump, the Lightning – we're playing more like the third period of last game and not the first two periods. And then right. they get 3 power plays in the first period, and they capitalize on 2 of them. And they had been, 0-for-14 in the last 4 games on the power play. They'd been really struggling, and they capitalized some great passing. Nikita Kucherov with the primary assist on both goals, no surprise there for Point and Palat. Hedman as well. Nikita Kucherov, by the way, now sets the all-time Lightning single playoff points number at 28 points now. Wow. Passing Brad Richards at 26, and Braden Point with that goal ties Brad Richards at 26 points. So they both are kind of in the record books there. And Nikita Kucherov, 2 points tonight. That's this 25th career playoff multi-point game. That passes Marty St. Louis in the Lightning record book. So lots of records set tonight too. But, you know, the three goals in the first period really gave the Lightning, you know, the momentum. And look, they earned that. I mean, they were playing well tonight. I thought Nikita Kucherov had a fantastic game, and he was getting beat up early. I mean, they were going after him the first couple minutes of the game.
Yeah, broke his visor.
For a little bit, but it was basically to fix his visor, and he came back. But he battled through that and then gets the 2 assists on the first 2 goals He played a whale of a game defensively. His forecheck, he was relentless. I mean, you know, we know that Braden Point is relentless on the puck. Nikita Kucherov was playing just like Braden Point for most of this game. I mean, that's how relentless he was being on the forecheck. And when you add Palat, who is always relentless, and Point, that line was generating so many chances and so much pressure in the Dallas zone. That was really the key to the game. They were the best line tonight by far. I thought Barkley Goodrow was phenomenal tonight. What he does on the penalty kill, and Blake Coleman with him, but Barkley Goodrow tonight, from the faceoff dots to the pressure he applies. I mean, you know, Phil Esposito was raving about him in the postgame show, just saying, look, you know he's not going to score you a lot of goals, but that's okay because he brings so much energy, so much consistent pressure every game. You love guys like that on your team. I mean, he makes an impact in the game without having to score goals. And he had a shot at an empty net late, missed it wide left, which, you know, just killed Phil, of course. But because you can't miss an empty net. I mean, those are freebies. You can't miss that.
It added to
shot.
The drama. They had to kill off another 30 seconds.
It did. But, I mean, you mentioned that you didn't think the Lightning played as well in some part. I thought the second period got away from them a little bit just because of the penalty kills. And they did pretty well. I mean, the Stars scored one power play goal, but how many power plays do they have? Let me look it up. I want to make sure I'm right here.
How many? Two or three?
Yeah. Well, no, they had more than that. Maybe it was that. But all in the second period, they had those power plays. So I thought the game kind of got away from them in a little of the flow. I thought the third period, they played phenomenally. They did give up a goal. It was a bad line change. And then Shattenkirk took the man and didn't get the stick when he did it. And they were able to, you know, shoot a shot that then Janmark tips in. You take that away. I mean, the Dallas Stars are down 3-1 in game two of the Stanley Cup Finals. And they get 5 shots on goal in the third period. They had 13 shot attempts in the third period. When you're down 2 goals, and then, you know, you get the goal quickly. You got it 5 minutes in. Then you're down 1. You're not getting anything on net. The Lightning was controlling that third period. Like I said, they gave away that one goal because of the bad line change and then Kevin Shattenkirk's mistake, and he didn't tie up the stick when he took the man.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, they controlled that third period. I mean, that was about as good of a period as you can play a lockdown in a Stanley Cup final for a third period that you, for the most part, you had a one-goal lead in that period. That was phenomenal play. They played so well that third period and controlled the game, and Dallas never really got any opportunities to try to tie it.
Right. No, it was very good. And I'm wondering, you know, in the first game, of course, the Lightning fell behind, but they played a really good third period. Mm-hmm. Then how much can – I mean, we always talk about, you know, one game doesn't really carry over to the other, but it did they, in fact, figure out a way to attack this Dallas team and continue to sort of dominate the way they started the game is sort of how they finished it, you know, without the goals, of course, mm-hmm. but sort of how they finished game one.
Well, think back to the Boston series. So, and I realize it's about a month ago now, but the Boston series, they played an awful first half that game. For a period of half, it was, and I think they were down 3-0 or something like that. I don't remember the score. They played an awful first half of the first game. And then they got some momentum, and they started to figure it out in that second half of the game. And they made it close at the end, but they lost game one. And then they went and pretty much dominated the next 4 games and won that series in 5 games. Sometimes, you know, I know Brian Engblom's talked about this a lot, and I heard him talking about it today on the morning skate show they do on Fox Sports Sun. You can watch tape all you want. You can scout, especially a team like from the Western Conference, you know, that you don't see very often.
Right.
But until you feel it, until you get in there, until you see what's working and feel what's working and get in that
feel
series,
them on the ice.
You know, mm-hmm. you can't fully appreciate it. And mm-hmm. look, the Lightning admitted they kind of dipped their toes in the water in the first half of that game. And they didn't like the way they played. And whether it was because they had just wrapped up a series 2 nights prior and Dallas had the rest, or maybe they were just mentally tired, or, you know, whatever it is, they didn't play very well for 2 periods. They played very well the third period. And some of that could have been Dallas taking the foot off the gas, but I think they figured out some things. I mean, Dallas is a very good defensive. The Lightning are playing, if you look at goals against in the regular season, in this playoffs, they've played 4 teams, 4 rounds. All 4 teams are in the top 5. They're playing very good defensive teams, but they're different. The Dallas Stars is a quicker, Probably more physical team than the Islanders. Islanders' structure is so good. But it's a different game. So they went from the Islanders, a very good defensive team, to playing the Stars, who are very good. But it's a different system. And so you have to now change the way you're playing and figure out what works to get the pucks in the zone or, you know, how you saw. You know, game one, one of the things you saw is the Lightning always send the puck back to the points. They love to go back to the point, back to the point. And the Stars were in those passing lanes every time to start that game. They had scouted it. They knew exactly what the Lightning were going to do. So now the Lightning are doing things differently. The way they're taking the puck in the zone or chipping it deep. And you know, it's that it's those adjustments and feeling out, okay, what's going to work, what's not going to work. Now, you know, give Dallas credit. They came out flying in game one, and they earned that victory. I mean, that they deserve that victory. This series should be 1-1 if you look at the way the games were played on the ice. But, you know, the Lightning have made the adjustments. And if you look at John Cooper's teams throughout the year, and I don't have the record off the top of my head, but game twos in series, he's very good. They don't lose many game twos in series. Game one can be a crapshoot, but game twos, they do very well because they make some adjustments and they figure out, you know, what's going to work, what's not. And tonight they showed you that, you know, they found some things that are working against Dallas. Now, getting two power play goals helps, and, you know, Dallas is going to make some adjustments now, and that's how the series goes. I mean, one of the, you know, Joel Quenneville, who's now coaching the Panthers, but won three cups with the Chicago Blackhawks. If you look at his record, game three of a series on, he got an incredible record because you start to figure out what works and you make those adjustments. And so it takes a game or two to really kind of feel what a series is going to be like. And he's very good at making those adjustments and doing that. And John Cooper has always been great at making, especially early in a series, adjustments like that. And like I said, their game twos, they're usually very good for the Lightning. They tend to bounce back from things, you know, mistakes that happen in the first game or whatever. So,
yeah, well, they certainly needed this one. And I still think, I mean, these two teams are both very good. Mm-hmm. It seems to me, though, that Dallas, and, you know, you don't see these guys a lot during the regular season, but it seems to me that they're a team that wants to be very physical, can goad you into penalty minutes if you let them. And there comes a point where you have to defend your players, and I get all that. But Dallas hurt themselves with penalties. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really did. You know, you mentioned the two power play goals. They put themselves in the box with some stupid yep. moves.
Well, think back to game one. I think it was the first goal. You know, I don't remember who hit. It may have been Alexiev, but I don't remember who hit Braden Point along the board.
Right.
Zach Bogosian went over to stand up for Point, except he was out of position, and his man's the one who got gave up the goal. That's Dallas goaded them into that play.
Yes, yes.
You know, that, look, you had all game to go make it up to that guy. You didn't have to do it there, Zach.
Right.
You were in a high-danger position at that point. You can't just go over and do that. You know, you have to, you know, and that was a mistake he made. Now, as John Cooper said, look, I'd rather have guys that care and want to stand up for our guys than not. But it's a Stanley Cup final game one. You can't let your guy go because of that. You know, you've got to, you know, if it was in the offensive zone, you did that, it's different. But when it's a defensive zone and they've still got the puck in a high danger area, you can't do that. And those, you know, those are the things I didn't think they took the dumb penalty so much tonight. I mean, Kucherov's tripping penalty, but that was in the offensive zone. It's a bad penalty. You don't want to tempt those fate, but, you know, and they had some scrums, and mostly they were even up. I mean, you know, the one scrum, they ended up with three in the box, but the penalty that ended up being the extra one was essentially Maroon's goaltender interference, which started it.
Right.
The rest of it was even up stuff. So, you know, you don't want to get the dumb penalties where you're putting yourself, your team, you know, because we know Dallas's power play is very good. And in this playoffs, it's been phenomenal, particularly the last couple weeks. So. They only got one power play goal tonight. The Lightning got two. But, Lightning getting three goals in the first period, you know, kind of set the tone for the game.
How much advantage do the Dallas Stars have with the fact that Rick Bowness is their coach? In other words, he spent so much time on the bench with John Cooper, knows that team, knows Cooper so well. Is that a major, you know, is that a major matchup right now, what he's able to relate to them about the Lightning? Or are there so many different players and such a different you know, the core is there, but the overall team is new.
I think there's some, but, you know, don't forget Rick Bonus was here, and Cooper talks about it. Look, I wouldn't be where I'm at without Rick Bonus. I mean, mm-hmm. Rick Bonus was brought on to be the associate head coach for John Cooper to really help John Cooper learn the NHL.
Right.
And be that sounding board. So, you know, don't forget that, you know, Cooper learned a lot from Bonus, too, not just Bonus, you know. So, now, Bonus has maybe more familiarity with the players. You know, he could talk mm-hmm. to about Victor Hedman and Braden Point and Point maybe not as much. I'm trying to remember when, you know, when he left a couple years ago. But, you know, the players that have been here, Alex Killorn, Tyler Johnson, Andre Palat, those type players, could he give some insight to that? Sure, absolutely. Are the Lightning running different systems than when they were here? Yes, very much so. You know, so and there is quite a few different players. I mean, maybe there's a little bit. But I don't think it's a huge advantage either way because, you know, I mean, they were together for years, but, you know, part of Rick being here was he was teaching John Cooper how to be a coach in the NHL and some other things too. So,
right. Well, we got a series. We got now it's the best of five,
mm-hmm. Which means there's going to be a back to back. Games 4 and 5 are back to back Friday night and Saturday night.
Oh boy.
Which normally doesn't happen in the Stanley Cup final. So, but they're trying to, For television purposes, because NBC doesn't want a Sunday game with Sunday night football. Mm-hmm. But the players also want to get this done as quick as possible. So, you know, game 3 will be Wednesday night at 8, and then games 4 and 5 are Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock. And then if it goes beyond that, it's Monday and Wednesday next week for games 6 and 7.
Yeah, we will be into the month of October by then.
It'll end September 30th.
Oh,
the
right?
Last day okay. is scheduled for. Had the Lightning gone to 7 games against the Islanders, it would have pushed into October. But
oh man, it's incredible how long they have been in the bubble. I mean, it really is.
Well, the Lightning's first preseason game was 6 days ago. No, 5 days ago. A year ago, and 5 days.
The anniversary of this season's first preseason game.
Exactly. So this season has gone over a year now.
I mean, normally they would be getting ready to crank it up and start the. 2021.
We'd be in preseason games right now. The season would start in about 2 weeks.
That's incredible. Just incredible how much time. Well, they've been fun to watch, and I think this is going to be a great series. I think the officials are going to have to get control of it, though, because somebody's going to get hurt.
A little concerned of some of the missed penalties. There were some missed. Barkley Goodrow had a high stick on Pavelski that was missed. Cooch got drilled early in the game that got missed. Mm-hmm. There were some penalties like that got missed, and when the officials miss those penalties, it just encourages players to do more of that stuff.
More of it.
Not that the Goodrow one was intentional and that, but you know, when you don't call penalties, you encourage more rough stuff, and you know, guys get a little more bold with what they think they can do.
Yeah, they definitely were bold and definitely were hitting, and it's a big win for the Lightning. Tie the series 1-1, so we'll see how they fare. In game 3 here in another night or so.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Meanwhile, before we get to the Rays, I was at we go over to testing every day at the Bucks, but we had our Zoom call, sort of a post-mortem in this case. A good one, a victory Monday for the Bucks, and we talked to Bruce Arians. You know, I was pretty sure that Tom Brady was having a decent day. I mean, mm-hmm. at the end of it, you know, he threw for like 197 yards in the first half, and he wound up 6 of 12 for, you know, something like, I don't know, 19 yards, I think, in the second half. So clearly, you know, they did not execute. They did not do a lot of things well. But the thing they did least well was catch the football. And, yes. You know, Bruce Arians went back, and we all remember, you know, I remember, you know, Scotty Miller diving in the end zone in the first quarter. I thought it would have been a tough catch, but then when you watch it, you say, yeah, that's what NFL receivers make, right? They make those catches sliding in the end zone all the time. You know, we know about, Cyril Grayson got somehow the ball moved on him in the wind, hit him in the back of the helmet. I mean, right there, you know, Tom Brady's thinking, where's David Tyree when I need him? Can't somebody make a helmet catch for me? And that didn't happen. So, Mike Evans had a drop. There were a bunch of drops. Well, in talking
Shady
to Shady
McCoy, that was second half. But,
you know,
yeah.
Shady dropped a touchdown as well. So that was a whole message that Bruce Arians delivered after the game on Monday, was to say, hey, look, if we catch the football, just the act of catching the football, which some of these guys are paid to do nothing except catch the football, Tom Brady's looking at another 125-yard. He's headed for close to a 400-yard day. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, there were not one, two, but three touchdowns that we left off the board, because of mistakes. And, you know, ifs and buts, right? We'll all have a Merry Christmas, but I still think that there's some merit to that. And, you know, the fact you didn't have Chris Godwin, who, by the way, will play this week, barring further injury, but he's out of the concussion protocol, so he'll have a chance to play at Denver. But when you take him out, you know, who are you really going to outside of Mike Evans? I mean, it's, you know, Scotty Miller has done some nice things. They like Justin Watson, and they sort of have roles in there, but, you know, it's tough. So their hands failed them.
We didn't talk last night, but yeah. Just watching the game Sunday, it was like, you know, you'd sit there and say, that throw was a little behind, or this wasn't a very good throw. And then all of a sudden they show the replay, you're like, that was a perfect throw.
It was right on the money.
I mean, like in real time, it was like, yeah, you know, like the Scotty Miller one. You're like, yeah, that's a tough catch. And then you look at it and you're like, you're an NFL receiver. You've got to catch that.
That's right. Because me and you, if we could get to it, we could easily butterfinger it away. We would not catch it. But I could dive and miss the ball. Mm-hmm. That's why
I'd look like Grayson on, you know, those routes. I mean, as fast.
Doink. Doink. Yeah, that was a doinker. That wasn't a double doinker, but it was a doinker nonetheless.
But I saw Pro Football Focus gave Brady like over a 90 score.
They
take into account, hey, that ball should have been caught.
Ball placement, accuracy, mm-hmm. all that. And I think people didn't realize, at least if you were sitting at home, which most of you were, watching the game, is it was incredibly windy. And windy to the extent, it's windy a lot of times over there. You see the flags blowing and everything. But windy to the point that at field level, that ball was blowing pretty well. I mean, you had to spin it pretty good. And the advantage that Brady has with something like that is the fact that he played, you know, all his home games in New England. I mean, he's used to dealing with howling wind, cold wind, snow, all of the elements, really. So it didn't really affect him. I think it affected Teddy Bridgewater on that last interception. It may have affected Tom on the one interception he overthrew Gronkowski. Which, by the way, what kind of conversations do you think Tom and Gronk are having these days? I mean, I don't know how to evaluate Gronk, but whatever I would say would be not very good.
He's not making much of an impact.
He's not making any impact, to be honest. I mean, he's got two catches for 11 yards. He wasn't really a target the other day. He's a run blocker at best. And I don't think you talk a guy out of complete retirement where he was happy, everything was going well, bring him back in here and not throw the ball to him. I mean, that's rather harsh. And so I don't know, you know, how much is, again, on him being slow, you know, maybe shying away. I don't know if he wants contact. I just don't know. But I do know this. They're spending plenty of money on tight ends, and none of them are really getting the ball. I mean, Cam Brate, I think, was involved in like six snaps, and he's getting paid $4 million. So you're really heavy on the, you know, the tight end side, you know, so.
Have we settled on Leonard Fournette as a starting running back?
Well,
getting a majority of the carries going forward?
Yeah.
I think McCoy's going to be in a lot of third down situations. But, you know, Fournette just looks like a different type runner. And
he is.
You know, that's why he was drafted where he is and is, mm-hmm. you know, had a phenomenal college career and was good in Jacksonville too. But, you know, he's their best running back.
He is, and yet you know, here's the thing. He may also be their best receiver, and mm-hmm. I'm certain he's their best goal line guy, and I'm certain he's probably their best short yardage guy. What Bruce Arians wants to do is, if he could script it, would be similar to what the Rays do.
He's an opener.
Ronald Jones is our opener. Yes. We're going to run him, let him loosen, let him, you know, batter the meat a little bit, as it were, and, you know, hammer him a little bit. And then we're going to come in with a guy that's a little off speed, a little Shady McCoy that can, you know, kind of run with jump cuts and some acceleration and also catch the ball in the backfield. And then when we need, I'll tell you what, man, we need our Mariano Rivera. Who's my closer, man? That's Leonard Fournette. That's the guy over there that's got the fresh legs in the fourth quarter. When you got a touchdown lead or a 10-point lead, you're going to give it. They used to do that with the A-train. You're going to give it to Leonard Fournette, and you're going to say, hey, man, it's yours, big guy. We're going to give it to you 10 times. Take us to the promised land. Let's end this thing. And I think that's what – I think right now, at least, because, look, he's been here 10 minutes. I think you said the other day, he was looking like this is my ninth day in Tampa. He couldn't possibly know enough about the offense to really be the starter, in my opinion. But as he gets more and more, I mean, you know, just for example, he's played two games or parts of two games here, and he already has a 100-yard rushing day. And I think the Bucs as a team have had three of those in the last 3 years, right? And so, you know, the production is going to win out every time. But right now, at least, I think they want to kind of do it a little bit by committee. But, yeah, you would be right in thinking that probably sooner than later, you know, Fournette's going to be their guy.
Well, and he should, like I said, he's already shown me in the first 2 weeks, and without Absolutely. Knowing a lot, that he's the best running back on the roster.
No doubt.
Now, but the other part is, and as you say, you know, if he wants to kind of go with the opener and transition through the game, is you can't win in the NFL with one back anymore.
No.
Unless you've got someone special like Derrick Henry or,
yeah,
you know, but you want to have multiple backs from injury to beating up to just to keep fresh, everything. I mean, you know, so, you know, it's not going to be Leonard Fournette every down at all, you know.
No.
So, I mean, that's part of why you signed both McCoy and Fournette, you know, and it puts the pressure on Ronald Jones, or allows you to put Ronald Jones in better positions that he can succeed in instead of putting him in every position.
Yeah. And, you know, all these roles have to be, you know, that was the thing I was listening to. You know, Tom Brady does this thing sponsored by Macy's with Jim Gray. Or is it Jim Gray? No, not Jim Gray. Who am I thinking of?
It's Jim Gray.
Who is it, Jim Gray?
Yeah.
That did the decision? Okay, I don't know why I thought his name wasn't Jim. But, yeah, Jim Gray.
You had me question it for a second. I was like, no, it's Jim Gray.
On Westwood One.
Yeah.
I'm here. Tom Brady joins us now, as he does every Monday night. Hi, Tom. How's it going? It's just so funny to me. But Tom was talking, you know, not a lot of revelations there, but he just made the point again that, like, look, you know, we just haven't spent enough time on the field together, you know, that we're gonna get this right, and guys are working really hard, and I still think it's an open collaboration between Byron Leftwich and Brady, you know. I think the Bucs would like Brady to continue to move their way. And see the game, you know, in explosives and down the field throws and things like that. And I think for all the world that Brady would be way more comfortable, you know, if he could just call the plays or you know, get into his rhythm where he's throwing the ball to running backs and moving the chains. And then when they move up and they try to put eight guys or nine guys in the box there, that's when he goes over the top. I don't think, you know, there's any reason, like, you know, people have been questioning his arm strength. I mean, this is not Drew Brees, you know, who looks terrible. You know, they lost Monday night in Las Vegas against the Raiders and my boy John. But, you know, I just think he's not comfortable. It's obvious to me. And yet, you know, he still put up 31 points the other day. Could have had a, you know, a 400-yard passing day as documented by Arians. But it's just not. It's just not happening for them right now. It's going to take more time. And look, here's the question. How much time? Do we know that this is going to turn around in a month? Do we know it's going to turn around in a couple months? How about if it takes till next year? You know, these are all things that, you know, that no one can really answer.
But I think you have to define what turnaround is. I mean, you know. I
winning
think,
is good.
Well, winning for sure. But
and
I
that's
think,
happening
you know,
now.
But I think the goal is you've got to see improvement.
Right.
You know, a month from now, does it look a lot better than it does today? And you're going to have some bad games along the way.
Sure.
And that, especially if you have players like Chris Godwin out 1 week or that. But
and that's
Mike
another
Evans
good
hurt
point.
The first week. I mean, he hasn't had his top two receivers 100% healthy in either week so far.
Right. Right.
But the other part is he's not getting the tight ends involved at all either, and he's got three of them that are supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But so, you know, I think it's, you know, a month from now, is it better than it is today? And then, you know, after next week, a month from then, is it better? And, you know, you've got to look at, are they improving? I mean, this was always a team that one of the reasons, you know, many people have predicted the Saints to still win this division this year, but the Bucs to make the playoffs, is that the Saints were a more complete team to start, but that the Bucs were going to improve throughout the year. And you know, we talked about, and I fully believed, and I think we saw a more realistic what the Bucs team is this past week than we did the first week. Going to New Orleans, the first game that they've played at all with each other, to a bona fide Super Bowl contender, and you know they struggled, and we got, you know, it was kind of the scheduled loss, you know, almost,
right.
You know, we've talked about the Lightning, and you know, coming off that series, and no, you know, that
first day back,
you know, mm-hmm. The Stars had rest, the Lightning didn't, and all that, and it's almost, you know, the Islanders were the same way when they started that series, and they got beat 8-2 because they just traveled 4 hours after playing Game 7, and you know, it's a scheduled loss. That first game almost was that. The Bucs played a lot better, and we saw a lot more potential of what they can be this year and what they hope they will be and what Tom Brady can bring to your team.
Yeah, well, the one thing they got in their favor, I think, is the schedule. I mean, they got to go to Denver, which is a long trip, and Brady has not fared well there. But their starting quarterback, Locke, is out. You're looking at
Jeff Driscoll.
Jeff Driscoll is going to probably be the guy. He's 1-7 overall, although he played fairly well the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a game that they should win. Like I said, Brady hasn't necessarily won a ton out there. But, you know, you win
that. That's a different Denver team than he's usually been out there, too.
And they're hurt. Their receivers are hurt. Their offensive line is hurt. You win there, you know, you come home against the Los Angeles Chargers. They play Justin Herbert the other day. You don't know if Tyrod Taylor's coming
back. Justin Herbert looked pretty good. I don't know if you saw that game or not.
Oh, he was phenomenal. Yeah, he was fantastic for a start. And a surprise starter at that.
I sit there and question Anthony Lynn in the overtime. You have the ball. You have a fourth down. Not very far to go.
I know.
Mahomes just came back on you.
Finished the game.
Butker's a phenomenal kicker. Kicked a 58-yard field goal earlier in the game.
Yeah.
Go for the win. What do you have to lose at that point?
I agree.
Because if you give it back to Mahomes, you knew they were going to win. With that kicker,
absolutely,
they didn't have to go very far. You knew it. How do you not – look,
that's the thing. They overthink it because if I had gone to them and said, look, you know, with what was it, 2 minutes to go?
Yep.
You know, all you have to do is convert this and you win the game. And they would have gone, yeah, sign me up. Let's go do that.
Yep.
You know, but then in the throes of it, they just don't pull the trigger.
I mean, you know, it was so apparent that if you give the ball to Patrick Mahomes, he was going to win the game. It was so obvious. I'd rather go down swinging.
Absolutely.
You know, and look, you decided that from the first down. The play calling was so conservative for the first two downs, and Kansas City pretty much knew you were going to be conservative with it.
Sure.
And so they stopped you, and then you get to, you know, fourth down, and you punt it, and game over. You lose that game.
Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, put this thing together. It's still got a long way to go. We'll be talking to we talked to Bruce Arians on Monday. We'll probably have a couple players today, and then on through the week as they prepare for their trip to Denver, their second road trip. The first one did not end in a victory, so they're hoping certainly for a better result. Speaking of good results, the Tampa Bay Rays, man, their magic number is 1, as in if they win the American League East, or if I guess it would be the Yankees lose over these next few days, they would still win the American League East. This would be their third banner, AL East champs up there. And it's significant. You know, this is the question. Is this really a thing this year, you know, with all that's going on?
I think if you're going to put an asterisk by anything this year, that's the one thing you could.
Yeah.
As you say, the division title, because you only played 60, not 162.
Right.
That you could put an asterisk. I don't think the World Series you can, because I've said all along, is everybody is under the same circumstances. Nobody's got an unfair advantage to anybody. Everybody's playing by the same rules, the same, you know, no fans and, you know, all the protocols, et cetera. There's no unfair advantage. But you could question the division title. But, you know, the Rays pretty, you know, when they went, what was that, 19 out of 23 they won? Yeah. I mean, just pretty much distanced themselves from everyone. That's a heck of a run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's a 162-game season or a 60-game season.
That's right.
And you know, they're most likely going to wrap up the title this week. They need one win in five games or one Yankee loss in six games.
Wow.
And they'll clinch. And they've deserved it. I mean, they went 8-2 against the Yankees. That's the other part of this. Don't forget. Yeah. I mean, they crushed the Yankees this year.
They did. And I guess they'll get to host the A series before they have to head out west, I suppose, if they were to win that 2 out of 3 against somebody. But it's not a small accomplishment. Again, we talked about this the other night, a small market team like the Rays, who are always looking up at, you know, all the other haves than to their have-nots. And now,
and not only win the division, they're the best team in the AL again right now.
They're the best team in the American League.
The White Sox are right there with them. But
yeah, what a job Kevin Cash has done to keep these guys focused and, you know, picking up each other the way they have. It's been really, really something to watch. So the Bucks will continue their preparations for the Denver Broncos. The Lightning Game 3 is going to be Wednesday night. We'll see which way that one tilts the series. And then, of course, we had the Tampa Bay Rays. Their magic number is 1. Just one more win or a Yankees loss, and they get to clinch the American League East. Quite an accomplishment for Kevin Cash and the boys. Hey, this week we're going to do a mailbag. I haven't done one in a bit. I know you guys got lots of questions about all of those teams. Here's what you do. You can send us those questions on Twitter at SportsDayTB. You can reach me on Twitter at NFL Stroud, or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. For Steve Burstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.